The Canadian Counseling and Psychotherapy Association is a national bilingual association of professionally trained counselors. CCPA's members work in diverse fields of education and employment and career development, social work, business, industry, mental health, public service agencies, government, and private practice. Their 2019 conference was jointly presented with the International Association for Counseling. It was held May 13 to 16, 2019 at the Delta Beauséjour Hotel in Moncton, New Brunswick. I'm your host, Mark Franklin, practice leader of a team of career professionals at CareerCycles.com and co-founder of One Life Tools. I'm pleased to be your host today on Career Buzz. There's been an explosive growth of technology in recent years, and with it, we've seen an equal growth in the use of technology in counseling and psychotherapy. Sherry Law is active on the CCPA's Technology and Innovative Solutions chapter. She presented on the IAC Ethics Roundtable. My guest today is Sherry Law. She's a researcher and consultant in counseling, therapy, and technology. Welcome back to Career Buzz, Sherry. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you wear many hats. What are those different hats you wear in your career, and what do you like about it overall?
So one of the roles that I employ, I'm currently still the president of the Technology and Innovative Solutions chapter of the Canadian Counseling and Psychotherapy Association. I'm also an independent researcher funded by multiple agencies in virtual reality research alongside aging healthcare. And I'm a licensed counseling therapist employed with the government in New Brunswick.
What do you enjoy about all of those roles?
The diversity, the impact. It's very meaningful work because it's directed, it's self-directed. I was able to explore a lot of the problems in society that piqued my curiosity and meaningfully engage in it in a way that's self-sustainable.
Nice. What are some skills or strengths you use to be successful in this really diverse career?
A very central skill that's needed for the type of work that I do is a resilience against people who, well, not necessarily people, but the urge to go with the flow. I feel very comfortable not doing what everyone else is doing, and I think it's important to have that resolve and tinker with new ideas and new technologies.
Nice. So you talk about technologies, and you know, for listeners, they might not connect technology and counseling and therapy. Like, you know, many people think of those two things quite separately. So how did you begin to marry these two things up, to blend them in your work?
So I've always been comfortable around technology because my father was interested in technology himself. He's a very curious mind. I developed an appetite for that type of curiosity. And personally, the work in counseling therapy was because I wanted to help people. And the reality is I have to go to sleep. I get sick sometimes. I have to take holidays. And so I'm not serving as many people as I would like. Technology seems to be a very elegant solution to that type of problem where I can extend my hand in servitude to others much further than otherwise.
So what is an example of the use of technology in counseling and therapy?
So right now there's still a dearth of research, and because of my role as the president in the Technology and Innovative Solutions chapter, we're currently going to be launching our national guidelines on the ethical use of technology. Because of the dearth of research, there are a lot of ethical concerns around the use of technology in counseling therapy. However, with my work with the research in virtual reality, I'm interested in using it as an assistive technology. So it's not to replace my skill set as a counseling therapist. It's meant to be used as a supplement to perhaps leverage my skills by employing visuals or environments that may assist in alleviating mood concerns.
Nice. So we've been involved in a bunch of that work. It's so interesting to hear where tech, you know, disrupts a lot of different jobs, experiences. You mentioned the ethical use of technology. What are we guarding against? What is the worst case scenario, or what are the problems, the misuses that we're trying to guard against with ethical practice?
So the scope of the concern is multifaceted. Not only are there concerns around, is this an appropriate technology for this counseling therapist to be using in the first place? You know, is texting an ethical modality for employing counseling work? However, there's also the other side of the spectrum, which is, okay, well, who is creating these technologies? How is the information that's being transmitted being used? How much autonomy do each user have in terms of where their information goes? You know, we have many popular stories right now with regards to concerns over privacy and social media. And on top of that, there's a lot of hacking that happens as well. So even Equifax, a very large company, cannot prevent from being breached in terms of their security. And so it's a matter of folks, counseling therapists primarily, because we have to be very serious in terms of our clients' confidentiality. But there's so much unknown about the technology world that it's really important to begin those discussions around it.
My guest today is Sherry Law. She heads up the Innovation and Technology chapter for the Canadian Counseling and Psychotherapy Association. I'm Mark Franklin, your host here on Career Buzz. So Sherry, let me just push that a little bit more. You were mentioning about some of the issues. You're hinting at privacy and potential breach of privacy. You mentioned something else. Is this even an appropriate technology? But again, could you take listeners down that road? Like, what's the problem? What might be an inappropriate use so that we can again learn why we should be guarding against this?
So earlier today, I was part of a panel it was hosted by the International Association of Counselors. It was a panel on ethical practice, and specifically we discussed technology. And Sue, she explained a story whereby a practitioner was utilizing mobile texting as a way of communicating with their client. The client was asking, I don't want to take, or should I be continuing to take this psychoactive medication? I don't want to, I don't need it. And the counselor just said, yeah, sure, stop taking it. In 3 days, that client ended up committing suicide. And so with the use of technology, because there's a whole lack of information, context, in-depth conversation, you're losing a lot of information when you're using certain types of technologies like texting. It could lead to disastrous outcomes. And so not only was this example, met with the cost of human life, but also in other ways. I know, I won't name this agency, but I know an agency who uses some very available servers to host shared client files within the agency. And one person was trying to access their own files, a roster of clients, I think some 20-odd clients with multiple months of data. The file just disappeared. Someone could have just deleted it because they couldn't appreciate the gravity of having a shared system for client file keeping. And it was on Google Drive. So there's quite a bit of concern and consequence alongside of this, and it goes beyond just this practice, but the safety of everybody.
All right, thanks for those examples. The dramatic example of the medication story and the texting, I think, says a lot, and I think it's important for us to think about what the negative consequences are so we can talk about the positive effects of ethical practice.
Yes.
The other area that sounds really interesting is this assistive approach, and you mentioned virtual reality. Mm-hmm. So take us into the future, Sherry. Where does virtual reality have a role in these kind of helping professions?
So virtual reality is not as far off in the future as we may think. The terminology might sound very futuristic, but some of these pieces are very advanced consumer-grade equipment is already available on the shelves for a couple $100. You know, PlayStation has a virtual reality headset. And so the way that this, for the audience members who've never heard of virtual reality before, imagine a pair of ski goggles whereby you wear it, and when you look to the left, you see a vista, you know, perhaps mountainsides to your left. You look to the right, you move your head, you adjust your body, and you see a lake to the right. You look up, you see the sky, you look down, you see that you're on the top of a very, very high mountain. Meanwhile, your physical body is still inside your home. So the virtual reality systems allow you to feel as though you are in a location that's completely simulated and generated by a computer. This has very deep implications in terms of therapeutic practice. You can convince a client that they're anywheres that you design them to be, as long as you can afford the software, of course.
So now, rather than being on the top of a mountain looking at a lake and so on, could we, for instance, be in a therapist's office and have a virtual therapist? What are the opportunities and applications within the helping professions of using this technology?
Mm-hmm. So the specific example that you're giving, Mark, so yes, the answer is yes, you can absolutely have a virtual reality session for counseling therapy. There's still a lot of ethical concerns to go through before that happens, but hypothetically it can happen, and in which case some of the benefits are accessibility. So a person can be at their home and they can see a specialist in trauma located in London, where the client lives in Manchester, New York. And on top of that, there's also a layer of illusion where a person can design their avatar to be whatever they want. So if they are of a cultural background, a visible minority, marginalized group, all that seemingly disappears because you cannot see the other person. And in the same way, the therapist cannot be seen. And so the biases that the client might hold against, you know, certain assumptions about certain types of people in the therapeutic practice may also vanish. So the context of the relationship changes with the use of some of these technologies.
I guess it also depends on who wrote the algorithm for the behavior of that virtual therapist.
Exactly. So now you're talking about artificial intelligences, and certainly I believe there are some institutions in Texas that are playing around with artificial intelligence counseling therapists within the context of military personnel. And surprisingly, some folks seem much more comfortable around an AI than with an actual person, probably
Wobot.
Because they're more simple.
There's one now, a commercial product called Wobot, robot, but Woe,
yes.
W-O-E.
Okay.
So listeners can check that out. That's one of the AI tools. It's not virtual reality, but mm-hmm. It is an algorithm for handling cognitive behavioral therapy.
Very interesting.
Listeners can check it out. Buyer beware. Sherry, thanks so much for sharing this with us. Last question, just to bring it back to the personal. You shared a little bit of your own twists and turns in your career. What's one thing you've learned about making good choices, about making good life and career choices that you've experienced from your own personal story that you can share with listeners?
It's very easy, especially in my field, to start feeling like an imposter. What I would say, one thing that I learned most in terms of how my career has unfolded, is to not focus too much on the self. Be the megaphone from which the information that you learn and the experiences from your tinkering, from which it can be broadcast. So when I'm thinking about my competencies, it's not within the framework of me, my identity. It's, no, this is just stuff that exists, and I'm simply synthesizing and bringing it all together. I'm an aggregator. And that's helped me to establish my value a lot. And establishing your value is absolutely fundamental in the type of career that I've been carving for myself.
Great advice, Sherry Law. Thanks so much for joining us here on Career Buzz.
Thank you so much, Mark.
You've been listening to interviews recorded at the Canadian Counseling and Psychotherapy Association's 2019 conference in Moncton, New Brunswick, here on Career Buzz. We're Canada's unique radio conversation that empowers lives, enriches careers, and energizes organizations. I'm your host, Mark Franklin. You can find out more about me at careercycles.com. If you have comments on today's interviews, please email me, mark@careercycles.com. Technical production today was by Kat Klippenstein. Catch Career Buzz every Wednesday, 11 till noon Eastern Time on CIUT 89.5 FM in the Toronto area, or CIUT.FM worldwide. Go to careercycles.com and click podcast. I'm Mark Franklin. Thank you for listening to Career Buzz.